formally open the meeting of the Select Committee on
Recording in Progress.
The Public Works and Infrastructure, the Public Service Administration and Monitoring and Evaluation. Today's meeting is it's a meeting where we will be hosting the Department of Transport to come and make a presentation on the economic transport regulation bill, the bill that was passed by the National Assembly, and it was then forwarded to us as the Select Committee for concurrence. So the audience and participants in this meeting are the members of the Select Committee. Therefore, let me take this opportunity to extend a word of greetings to all of them, but also a most special welcome to them, because this is our first meeting for the year. We hope that members of the Select Committee had ample opportunity to relax with their families, and they are now ready for 2023. But also a special word of welcome to the members of the parliamentary staff, the Committee Secretary, our content advisor, and also the researcher and the administrator, but also word of welcome to the staff from the department, and also the media and the parliamentary monitoring group. Perhaps maybe let's start deal with the apologies. Any apologies, Committee Secretary?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson, we have received 3 apologies so far. The first apology is Honorable Khaya. The second apology is Honorable Boshoff, and the third apology is Honorable Mamarekhane. And also, Chairperson, we've also received an apology from the Portfolio Committee of Transport in the KZN Legislature. They are out of the country.
Right, and also the leave of, and then also the standing apology of Honorable Lansman.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, let's wish Honorable Khai a special word to him, because he's not well, and we wish him a speedy recovery from what he's going through. So that he will be able to be back on his feet. We will then, again, from the ministries, any indication who's with us from the ministry? Do we have the minister or the deputy minister?
Good morning, Chair. Tandy. We have an apology for Minister. Minister is in the Cabinet Committee today. And we have an apology also for Director General. He has sent the delegation. I've sent to Supega that there's a DDG responsible for IPT, which is here. She's leading the delegation.
Thank you, Tandy, for that update. Any word from the Deputy Minister?
No, there's no wait for any from the Deputy Minister's office, but I will follow up now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Tandy.
Chairperson?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Before we start, I would like you to advise you that you give opportunity to the members of the legislature who are here in this meeting to introduce themselves.
Thank you. Let's check in terms of the list. Let's start with the Eastern Cape. Can Eastern Cape introduce themselves? Eastern Cape?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members and everyone in the meeting. My name is Ncedi Swastirman. I'm the legal advisor at the Eastern Cape. I'm trying to check if the chairperson has joined. I haven't seen him, but I will contact him to check whether he has difficulties joining the meeting. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Can we again request participants to just open their video when they are on the floor? Thank you, Mr. Man. Halten?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. My name is Greg Schneeman. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport and Logistics in Gauteng. Sorry for that. I lost the picture while I was talking. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Honorable Suman. Free State.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. I am Dr. Mokwena from the Provincial Legislature of the Free State. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable
Chairperson, my name is Sarah Bonaleki. I'm the Chairperson of the Committee of the Infrastructure in the Free State.
Thank you, Honorable Mleleki. You're welcome. Let's check Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga. Limpopo,
good morning, Chairperson. My name is Rebecca Sono, and I'm the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport and Community Safety. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sono. Northern Cape. Northwest.
Good morning, Chairperson and everyone present. I am Fred Swanakile. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Community Safety and Transport Management in the Northwest. And my apologies, I'm having load shedding where I am, so network is a bit of a challenge. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Swanakile. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair Muluki Joy, a member of the Portfolio Committee on Transport Northwest. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Saile. You're welcome. So it's Northern Cape and Western Cape. Let's check Western Cape.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Ricardo McKenzie. Thank you for having us. I'm the Chairperson of Transport and Public Works in the Western Cape.
Thank you, Honorable McKenzie. You're welcome. KZN has apologized. Northern Cape, there's no indication. Let's hope they'll join us.
Sorry, Chair.
Hello?
From the Northern Cape, Ms. Babuse. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, can you repeat that?
I said it's Ms. Babuse from the Northern Cape, a committee coordinator. Chair, sorry.
Thank you, Mayor Babuse.
They are busy. We're having by elections in the region here, Chair. So she's busy there. Thank you, Chair. All right.
Thank you. Honorable members, we now know who is present amongst us from the legislatures, and we highly appreciate their presence. And without any waste of time, can we then Give over to Mema Shaba. I hope she's the one that is leading the team. If there is that confusion, I think they will clarify it, because I heard from Tandi that there's also EDG from ITPT. Let's give over to the department to lead the presentation.
Good morning, Chairperson. I am Rebanzo Mashaba. I'm from the Department of Transport. I am the Deputy Director General responsible for integrated transport planning. I have requested Mr. Allen Chikambi to please flight the presentation for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mashaba. You're welcome.
Chairperson.
Honorable Moshodi, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Chair, I don't want to disturb the presentation, but I think one would love to know who system DOP would be to minister, because we are dealing about the bill here. As much as we understand that the minister is in the cabinet meeting, we are dealing about the bill and the political head. So if maybe Usista D can give us an indication, where is the deputy minister chair? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mashori. Yes, Tandi promised to come back to us. Do you have any latest on the absence or the presence of the deputy minister? Tandi?
No, Chairperson, I'm still finding out. I will come back to you just now. I'm speaking to the head of the office of the deputy minister.
Thank you, Tandi. Honorable Moshodi, can we proceed? And then we're hoping that along the way we'll be able to get the DM's whereabouts. But of course, I note the concerns that you are raising, that it's important that at all times, where it's possible, we have a political head of the department also present in our meetings. But I hope you'll understand.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm fine.
Thank you, Honorable Moshodi. Mema Shaba, you can continue. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The presentation has already been flighted. Can I please have the next page? The presentation will have the following outline. We'll highlight why we have the single transport economic regulator, the background of what has happened to date, the ERT bill, the implementation plan, the organizational design, and in conclusion, we'll have the way forward. Why is the South Africa needs to ensure the cost effectiveness and efficiency of its transport system in order to meet its economic and social goals. The preconditions for efficiency and cost effectiveness do not yet exist in the sector due to the following reasons. There's potential conflict of interest, especially where state-owned entities have been given monopoly and regulatory powers. There are significant gaps in the regulatory framework, which then inhibits the government's ability to provide consistent and comprehensive economic oversight. There has been an observation of the scarce skills and a lack of capacity as it relates to economic regulation. The transport sector does have safety regulators, but as it relates to the economic regulator, we only have one that is fully functional. There is also an absence of a clear appeals process for regulated entities within the transport sector. And based on the benchmark that we have undertaken, the international comparison suggests that transportation comprises an unacceptable high proportion of logistical costs in our country. The economic regulation in the transport sector is currently fragmented. It's inconsistent, and in some cases, it's non-existent. And the reason why we want to put the single transport economic regulator in place is firstly to improve the existing regulatory framework, where there is a need to establish a complaints and appeal mechanisms for all modes, to strengthen the independence of existing regulators, to develop a rigorous and consistent methodology and procedures, and to create sufficient and dedicated regulatory expertise. The second one is to expand on the existing regulatory framework, which will therefore require us to address potential conflicts of interest in the implementation and oversight of transport infrastructure, to introduce regulatory oversight across the rail sector, and to deepen oversight across the key aspects of the transport value chain. On the wider policy impetus, STAIR was informed by a number of policy documents as depicted on the slide. The first one is the National Development Plan 2030, which then stipulates that the state must put in place appropriate regulatory and governance frameworks so that the economic infrastructure is operated efficiently and tariffs can be set at appropriate levels. The second one is the recently revised White Paper on Transport Policy 2021, where it provides a government role in regulating monopolies, specifically in the state airports, the ports, road and rail concessions. And it also provides for the establishment of a regulatory structure as and when is required. Then we have the MTSF Action Plan, which then stipulates the need for a regulatory reform to provide certainty and spur investments, the importance of transport efficiency and competitiveness to enable the review and possibly consolidate existing regulators and to establish a single transport economic regulator. The STAIR forms part of the economic reforms and stimulus package of South Africa, and will also help to realize the goals and operations of Vulindlela. The SONA 2021 also pronounced an adverse need of having an independent economic regulator within the transport sector. Just to provide a bit of background of where we started and where we currently are at, as illustrated on the slide, the ERT bill was published by Cabinet in 2018 for comments by public. And the bill was then gazetted twice in February and September 2018 for public consultation. The DOT then undertook engagements and consultation with NEDLAC between October 2018 and April 2019. The Office of the Chief State Law Advisors provided positive legal opinion, which then states that the ERT bill meets the constitutional requirements. The Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation approved the social economic assessment systems reports, which were both signed off. The bill was then presented to the SH cluster on the 11th of April, 2019, and it was formally approved for final submission to Cabinet for approval for its introduction to Parliament. PCOT then finalized the deliberations on the ERT bill on the 14th of September, 2022, and the National Assembly voted for the bill to be introduced to NCOP for concurrency on the 27th of September, 2022. This provides the details as outlined in the bill itself. The objectives of the bill and what it aims to achieve and address is the consolidation of the economic regulation of transport within a single framework, to make consequential amendments to related acts, and to establish the transport economic regulator and the Transport Economic Council that aims to promote to establish, to enhance and promote the transformational agenda. And as it relates to the promotion, we're speaking about the development of a competitive and efficient and a viable South African transport industry, which contributes to economic growth and development the development of an integrated system of economic regulation for transportation of passengers and goods through our airports, our ports, our road, and our rail, to ensure that there's efficiency, reliability, safety, and performance in the management and operation of transport facilities and services in accordance to the recognized international standards and public demand, and to also ensure that there's appropriate investment in the transportation facilities and services. We aim to establish an appropriate institutional arrangement and procedures to support the consistent economic regulation of transport and transport activities and services. We aim to enhance the transparency in the management of transport facilities and services, and further to develop small and medium enterprises and to achieve equality through the measures of design to advance persons of historically disadvantaged by unfair discrimination in the operation of transport facilities and services. The bill comprises governance and substance matters. And what we mean by governance matters is what we refer to as the institutional and legal design of the regulatory framework and the framework within which decisions are made, the establishment of regulatory independence, the appointment of the regulator, and the handling of disputes and appeals. The substance matters within the bill itself relate to the contents of the regulation, how decisions are going to be made by the specific regulatory entity and other entities within government, along with the rationale for decisions, the choice for pricing methodology and scope, and the licensing requirements and license obligations. On the implementation plan, and this we've termed a project management schedule that is done within the Department of Transport itself, and the steps which are not exhaustive. What we've done is that we've now, the bill has now been introduced to the Select Committee and NCOP for concurrency. We are currently busy with the revision and finalization of the STEP business case. We have started work on the development of the human resource, the IT, finance, and logistical management and policies for the STEP. We are conducting a job analysis, description, development, and evaluation of all positions as per the organogram that will be flighted in the next slide. And we are in consultation as well with the National Treasury regarding the establishment of STEP as a Schedule 3A entity. And we are in the process of drafting the regulations and directives. And this process also follows the approval of the ERT bill into an act. And lastly, we are also in the process of scoping and procuring office space and equipment for this entity. On the establishment phase, when the bill is signed off and is enacted, the board and the council and the respective chairs will be appointed. The migration process of employees and the appointment of CEO and executives will then be underway. The bill also speaks about the transitioning of the ports regulator staff that would need to be transitioned into this transport economic regulator as soon as the bill is passed and then it becomes enacted. The implementation of how the various entities are going to be consolidated into the transport economic regulator is as stipulated on clause 411 of the bill, which then says that the minister must, in consultation with the regulator from time to time, through a notice, be able to declare any of the listed regulators in no particular order to be included as part of the transport economic regulator. And these may include, amongst others, the Cross-Border Road Transport Agency, the National Public Transport Regulator, the Air Services Licensing Council, the International Air Services Council, and any other regulator that is deemed by the minister. And if the minister has determined that one or more of the regulators, as referred to above, must be incorporated, the department then will be required to produce a report from conducting a review of their performance and capabilities, including the initiation of the legislation reform required to facilitate the incorporation of these regulators within 3 years after the effective date and from time to time thereafter. Just to show an indication of the proposed organizational design of this transport regulator, where we have the minister being the executive authority, and we have the regulatory board, the council, which then will be dealing with the judiciary system and dealing with the appeals and complaints that are raised by the different operators. And we have the regulator, CEO, as well as the staff complement and the organogram proposal that we'll be having. As depicted on the slide, we have proposed, and as per the bill itself, that the regulator board will have 5 part-time members. Their term of office will be 4 years, which they will have then their experience. They will need to possess experience in economics, law, commerce, or accounting, amongst others. As it relates to the CEO of the regulator, the term of office will be 4 years, and it is also renewable. The regulator executives also operate on a 4-year term, which is also subject to be renewed. The council will have 4 to 7 part-time members. In conclusion, Chairperson, the approval of, we are requesting approval of the bill by the NCOP, requesting that the bill be approved into an act, and requesting approval for the establishment of STED as to be the transport economic regulator in South Africa. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, DDG Mashaba, for the presentation on the bill that aims to regulate the single transport economic regulation. If the presentation can be taken down, so that we are then able to proceed with the engagement. Honourable members, that's the presentation. What I'll then do, I will then. Kuno, please. Thanks. I have noted, Honorable Ricardo Makese from the Western Cape. Let's start with Ricardo McKenzie. The floor is yours, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation, DDG. Chairperson, I know this bill still, by your grace, need to be referred to us in the Western Cape, but I'm just a bit concerned. Slide number 7 and 8, particularly slide number 7, the end of slide number 6, speaks to if this is a done deal. And the words the DGG used, they are in the process of looking for officers, they're in the process of appointing people. It's a bit bizarre that before a law is passed in this country, we're already pretty busy negotiating with people. Perhaps I missed something, but that's the perception I got, because I know that the NCOP still must process this, then it must come to us. So I don't know how people can be in the process of appointing, negotiating, looking for officers if a bill is not passed by Parliament. This is the first I've heard of this. I've been a member of Parliament for 8 years. Thank you. I just want to get clarity on that.
Thank you. Let's Honorable Moosh, I see Tandi, do you want to come back to us?
Yes, Chair. No, I just got the message that the Deputy Minister is also in the ECT Cabinet Committee.
Okay, no, thanks for that update, Tandi.
Thank you.
Great. Honorable Moshori?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And let me greet honorable members from the Select Committee, honorable members from the legislature, especially my chairperson from the Free State Province, Honorable Sarah Mleleki, the staff of the Parliament, and the staff from the Department of Transport. Also, Chairperson, let me thanks very much for presentation this morning. I want to raise one or two questions, Honorable Chairperson. The first question, Chairperson, is the principles of the regulation should be standardized across mode of transport, and the regulator must be administratively independent, notwithstanding the fact that the Department of Transport is responsible for determining policy, in particular the provision of fund for rehabilitation of infrastructure was not standardized among different mode of transport. Now, Chairperson, my question is, how is the new proposed entity going to be different from the Competition Commission? And also, Chairperson, will it not have the overlapping function? That is the first question that I have, Honorable Chairperson. The second one, Honorable Chairperson, I just want to check, given that the bill is intended to consolidate certain the regulators in the transport sector, which of the existing regulators could be dissolved, and what is going to be the job implication for the employees of these regulators? Are you anticipating job losses? If not, how are you planning to manage these processes? I'm asking this question, Chairperson, considering the high rate of unemployment, Honorable Chairperson. The last question, Honorable Chairperson, is the presenter tell us about the finalize of migration process of the employees. And she also tell us the post of the CEO and executive is on the way. I think Honorable Chairperson can be proper if maybe can give us the time frame when this post is going to be filled. For now, Chairperson, I've got only that question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Moshori. Are there any other questions from members? Let me then also raise some few questions. The first one relates to clause 4.2 that deals with the purpose and application of the Act. In terms of clause 4, subsection 2, it indicates that rail will be brought within the scope of this bill, and that it is arguably in respect of rail where there is a need for market and control and monopolistic tendencies urgently that has to be addressed. For example, the access to the emerging manganese and iron ore players in the Northern Cape is mainly doing always have a challenge because the rail there is mainly dominated by key players that are established in the field, whether it is South 32, whether it is Asmang, whether it is Yokumba, meaning that the emerging players are always on the receiving end. So the question that I want to pose is how was the 70% market control determined as a threshold for identifying monopolistic operators? Two, has any assessment been made of the number of public and private operators that have more than 70% market control? As this will also influence decisions on the resources required to capacitate the regulator at the inception and to attain the objectives of the bill. I think in this instance, the example that I was making mainly relates to the fact that Transnet is the one that is in charge of the of rail, the transport goods. The second one relates to the class 49 to 54, which deals with administrative matters concerning regulator and council. The point that I want to assert is that the cost associated with the regulation is often transferred to end users and customers, where price regulation is then used to buffer end users from price increases. Which measures will be put in place to ensure that the rail sector that has not yet adapted to operating without monopolistic advantages and where efficiencies have not yet been built into its systems and operations is not destabilized. In the socioeconomic impact assessment, one such approach identified was that the bill allows the regulator to take into account security of supply concerns when setting price controls. This will allow the cross subsidy to continue as required for the foreseeable future. So the question is, which other measures will be put in place to mitigate the situation? Then the last one relates to the role of market inquiries. At present, it may appear that the bill is vague with regards to which aspects of facilities and services will be regulated. And in my view, market inquiries are necessary to determine which aspects of the facilities and services in a particular market and in light of macro and microeconomic factors present at the time must be regulated. Therefore, if you can just indicate to which extent will market inquiries safeguard against concerns of scope, creep, overreach, or unnecessary regulation, and steps what is the step that the department will put in place to ensure credible and rigorous market inquiries? Those are the questions. If DDG Mashaba can respond to those questions, over to you. Let me just check. I see there is also a question from Honorable Pratiseth. Honorable Pratiseth has a challenge with the signal. So the question that is putting forward is, why do we need another entity to do the job of entities that have failed? That is his question. Second question that Honorable Pratiseth is posing is, are we not just adding another layer of bureaucracy far away from the workplace? If in responding to questions, those two questions from honorable practices can also be taken into account. Over to you, Mashara.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I also have the project team with me to provide support. They will be assisting with responding to some of the questions that have been posed. Just to, I'll answer the question that was posed by Mr. Ricardo from Western Cape on slide 7, where he was concerned that we're already doing work. The work that we are doing, Chairperson, is not because the bill has already been enacted. We are doing work so that when the bill gets passed, we are not found wanting. So we are doing something just to be proactive to ensure that when all systems go, we are ready as well to hit the ground running. So nothing has been put in place. It's just an internal processes that are running within the department. The question asked by Melidia, there were a number of them. On the consolidation of regulators and the issue about job losses, there will be no jobs that will be left, that will be lost. There is also in the bill, Schedule 2, where it speaks about the transitioning of the POS regulator, because the POS regulator is the one that is going to be the nucleus of this particular regulator. And in that, Chairperson, it does make mention that the persons that are currently employed by the POS regulator will be transferred to the regulator, and the Section 197 of the Labor Act will be used to transfer these employees. So they will not be losing their jobs. The standardization of investment of transport infrastructure. On that one, Chairperson, the aim of this bill as well is to ensure that there is standardization throughout and across all modes. As you may be aware, the rail sector, I'll just make an example of the rail sector, that is currently, the infrastructure is currently dilapidated, and the Transnet has proposed means to open up the slots, and they do currently have private siding operators within the system that are currently doing that. So part of the objectives is to also ensure transparency and to promote investment in an open way. The next one is the overlapping of functions. The bill does not aim to overlap any functions, Chairperson. What we currently are doing is that we do have, we only have one economic regulator and several safety regulators in the transport industry. What we are aiming to do through this bill is to be able to regulate the competition and promote equality and equity, and ensure that there's fair play fields throughout the system, and there is no one that is a referee and a player in the system. So the functions will not be overlapped, because we will just have one single economic regulator, which currently does not exist. It only exists in the port sector, but we want it to exist within the entire transport fraternity. The last one that was on the chat, Chairperson, why do we need entities to support those that have failed? The entities that we currently have, Chairperson, have not failed. As I had mentioned, they are currently dealing with these different aspects, and they are also charging different prices for different operations. So what we are trying to do as well, Chairperson, is to ensure that there is only one regulator that sets the price regime and price methodologies, that is transparent, and also allows for a transport appeals board that will be able to engage with the various complaints and appeals that are brought to the council itself. I will hand over to the project team, Chairperson, to take the remainder of the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Namashaba. Uh, Then the project team,
Chairperson.
Yes,
Chairperson. I wanted to, Chairperson, I mean, to inform you that Mpumalanga has logged in the Chairperson. So I wanted him to be recognized.
Okay, thank you. We do indeed take...
Through you, Chairperson, thank you for giving me this opportunity to respond to some of the questions which Ms. Mashaba didn't respond on. I'll first tackle the one where we say which criteria did we use to determine to use the 70%, which is stipulated in Section 4 of the bill. Basically, what happened, Chairperson, is when we initially drafted the bill, the intention was to regulate monopolies, which are our state-owned entities, which are under the transport sector. So basically what we then did is we then published the bill for public comments, and some of the comments then came through to say that the bill won't be serving its purpose fully if we are not including the private sector. That's then when we sat down and then we then looked at to say, how do we then go about regulating monopolies? That's where then the 70% emanated, to say that at inception, once the bill is enacted, then monopolies which have got a 70% threshold will then automatically be regulated by state. And then the other entities which needs to be regulated will therefore be catered for by clause B, by clause 4.2b, which then states that the preconditions of efficiency and core effectiveness do not exist in the market concerned. Therefore, that's when we will then, the minister will need then to receive an advice from Competitions Commission, which will then lead to the second question, which was then asked to say, aren't we duplicating functions by establishing STAIR, while is this Competition Commission, which is dealing with issues of competition and market inquiries, etc. Basically, when we look at the bill, what we're anticipating to do is saying that where there's a need to conduct a market inquiry, when you look at clause 43, it deals with any other relationships with existing regulators. So basically, which means that if there's concurrency of jurisdiction between STAIR and Competitions Commission, there is a need for STAIR, in consultation with the Competitions Commission, to have a memorandum of understanding on how they are going to deal with those issues. And at the moment, we're still in the process of consulting with the Competitions Commission so that we can reach that agreement. And the market inquiry processes and stuff will be then embedded in the regulations, which we are currently in the process of developing as well. I think I've covered that one, Chairperson. I would allow some of our team members to add on what I've alluded on.
Good morning, Chairperson. Just to emphasize the difference between the Competition Commission and our bill, the scope of the Competition Commission is very broad, looking at broad areas of competition, whereas this bill is focusing mainly on transport issues. And to the question referring to say, are we not adding another layer? It's not a question of course we are adding a new entity, but bearing in mind that we'll be consolidating various entities under one roof. So more or less, we'll be having more expertise on various areas of regulation. And the other reason for ensuring that we have all entities under one roof is to ensure that the expertise is consolidated, as reflected in previous slides. Because right now, we have scarcity of skills in economic regulation in most areas. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, you are muted.
Thank you. The question on the administrative matters related to what was contained in the socioeconomic impact in relation to allowing the regulator to take into account security of supply concern when setting price control, as this will allow the cross subsidy to continue as required for the foreseeable future. Which other measures will be put in place? And the last one, which relates to the role of I think this one has been responded to, the role of the market inquiry. I think that is the only question that is still outstanding. Mashawa?
Chairperson, can I kindly request that you repeat the last part of that one on the administrative issues?
Yes. I indicated that the cost associated with regulation is often transferred to the end users and customers, where price regulation is then used to buffer end users from price increases. Which measure will be put in place to ensure that the rail sector that has not yet adapted to operating without monopolistic advantages and where efficiencies have not yet been built into its systems and operation is not destabilized? That is the questions that we are posing, because I then elaborated to say this is informed by the fact that the socioeconomic assessment identifies that the bill allows the regulator to take into account security of supply concern when setting price control. Are there any other measures that will be put in place to manage this? That is a question. Hello?
Through you, Chairperson. On the question of what other measures are we going to use to deal with these matters, as you have alluded, currently within the rail space, in our rail division, we have a project called Interim Rail Economic Regulation Capacity. So basically, at the moment, they are in the process of developing some of the regulations on our behalf, because of some of the answers and the questions as to how exactly are they going to be implemented on the ground. We are going to be in the process, we are in the process of currently looking at that. So some of those issues which you are currently raising, Chairperson, they will then be addressed when we are developing the regulations. Because currently the state of the bill is only meant to establish an entity, and then we're raising issues which then needs to be addressed by the regulations. So we haven't reached the level of developing the regulations as yet. So the question which you are asking on what the CS report is referring to will then be addressed during the process of developing the regulations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chidambi. I see that Honorable Mackenzie has raised his hand. What do you, Honorable Mackenzie?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the response, DDG. I obviously have a different opinion, because I got a sense that the perception is that the bill has been passed and things need to go ahead, but Chairperson, your point that you made in that Mr. Chikambambi asked is something that has been certainly been creeping in across the country in various legislatures, including ourselves, where when important issues supposed to be addressed in law, it seems to be the answer is, well, we address it in the regulations. The purpose of lawmakers is for lawmakers like yourself and myself to make the laws. But it's been creeping in the last few years, and we, and as a Western Cape, we're not excluded about it. I've seen it creeping in some of our bills as well, where officials tell you, well, it'll be in the regulations. The purpose of lawmaking is to make the laws. And I really get very suspect when people tell me it'll be in the regulations, because then it's things that we as lawmakers disagree with find its way into the regulations, and then it excludes the public to make public participation in. But let me get to the technical part of the bill, rather. With the reasons we are sitting here now, some of us are load shedding, we can't, is because everything was consolidated under one entity, Eskom. That is part of the reason we are here. So somehow, bizarrely, we think by consolidating everything under one entity or one regulator, we're going to solve a problem. I don't know how we can possibly think we're going to do that if the reason we're sitting here with load shedding is because of exactly that problem. So how different is this regulator or entity going to operate? And what I still haven't figured out what problem we're trying to solve that the other entities haven't. That's the first one. The second problem is the conflict of interest with different safe. Now, here, our colleague, Mr. Chikambi, is talking about the skills under one roof. But I don't believe that is what's going to happen, because there's going to be a severe conflict of interest. You have PRASA, the rail, you have all these different entities that ultimately compete for resources. Then you have all staff working under one entity. That will, in my opinion, create a severe conflict of interest. And then the last point I'm trying to understand is the structures, the proposed structures with a new board, with the new entities. Has all the current entities, because I didn't see anything in the presentation, being consulted on it? And what is their opinion? Because there's obviously going to be a consolidation of some sort. I mean, no entity can employ everyone. It's just not impossible. There is just no money for everybody to employ it forever in time in perpetuity. So what is their opinion? Because that was not in the presentation on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mackenzie. Let's give over to the team led by TTG Mashaba.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I will respond to some and I'll hand over to the team. As it relates to how we are solving issues by consolidating, I think what maybe failed to come through was that what we are bringing in, we are not consolidating the entire functions of some of the regulators that we have mentioned. In some instances, just to give an example, for cross-border, one of the issues that would need to be regulated for them is the issuance of licenses and the pricing regime. That is only the component that will be regulating and not necessarily the entire mandate and the entire functions of the regulator. And in that, in doing that is just to minimize the monopolistic nature and allow then the gazetting and the public participation in the setting of those tariffs and fees to ensure that we accommodate competition and also promote private sector participation into the sector.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I will respond to the one where he was referring to the existing regulators that are going to be transferred to stay to the economic regulator, whether they are consulted or not. From inception of the project, we have been consulting with other existing regulators within the transport sector that are performing the economic regulatory function. So one of them, like for an example, is sports regulator. We have been constantly engagement with sports regulator. We are also still in the process of consulting with them on the issues of how are they going to be migrated, and they are quite aware and confident that they are going to be transferred instead. However, we are still in the process of ironing out other issues. And there are also other entities which we then consulted, like almost close to 28 of them. Cross Border was one of them which was consulted. Within Department of Transport, we've got NPTR, which has been consulted. We've got the Air Licensing Council and the Regulation Committee within the aviation space. They were also consulted. So they are quite aware that some of their functions are going to be moved into stay at once there is established. Thank you, Chairperson.
Just to add on that one, Mr. McKenzie had also asked what is the general view of those entities that we have consulted. As we had mentioned, the POS regulator becomes then the nucleus that houses this entity. And the general feel, and I think maybe in one of the slides that we have depicted, we did speak about a business case that we are developing. And in this business case is the consolidation of the inputs from the various entities on how they will be affected and how we aim to map forward how we are going to incorporate them. And as I had mentioned again, it's not everything that gets incorporated into this thing. It's just certain functions within the regulator that would need to be regulated. As it relates to the rail sector, obviously, because they are the ones that are currently a monopolistic organization, they will be regulated on access as well as pricing as highlighted as well in the Act. I hope we have managed to respond to Mr. McKenzie's questions.
Yes. Looking at section 411, raises the number of areas. It says that the 411 says that the minister may, in consultation with the regulator, from time to time, by notice in the Gazette, declare that any other regulator in no particular order are consolidated into the regulator, including the following regulators, but not limited to Cross-Border Road Transport Agency, National Public Transport Regulator, Air Service Licensing Council, International Air Services Council, and any other regulator. Am I right to assume that this is the basis? This will only be the regulators that are covered, or does it mean that the minister has a wide discretion to look for any other regulator as it is captured in terms of the section, plus 411.5? Any other regulator that might not be known to the ministers, that says the minister then becomes above that regulator, then he has the discretion then to also then put it under the new entity. Just clarity on that. But also, was the question on the market inquiries responded to? If I may just ask the DG, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The market inquiry question was responded to by Mr. Alan Chikambi. I think you had previously indicated that it was responded to. I'm not sure if maybe we should. Okay. And then just to come to your question, Chairperson. Yes, the minister at his discretion, if you go to section 411 B, where it says that if then the minister then determines that he wants to incorporate that, then what we need to do is to do a review on the performance and capabilities of this particular entity that would need to be brought in. So it is at his discretion, similar to what is mentioned on 11A. These ones that have been listed here will not be incorporated as per the order of the bill itself. He can decide to include the National Public Transport Regulator to be the one that comes in first as opposed to the other one. So it is at the discretion of the minister, obviously through a public participation process as well. I'm sure if you had seen on Section 11 that everything needs to be done through a public hearing process and needs to get the attention of the public. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Dinesh. I see two hands, Honorable Muleleki and Honorable Mackenzie, in that way, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have a problem, and I'm with my coordinator of the committee and legal advisor. My problem is that the presentation is being done only by slides and not by close to close. And number two, the presentation is there, but the bill is not there. And as Free State bought the bill this morning, we do not have enough time even to look at it. So my concern is that are we going to get a presenter or officials that will come and make presentations during our public meetings, so that it should be easy for the Free State committee members to get some correct information from the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Muleleki. Honorable Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the DGT and Mr. Chibambi for the answers. I think we're slowly getting to the meat of the place of what we're looking for. One of the responses from the DGG was the Ports Authority had other issues that they're unhappy about. I'm keen to get a list of those other issues because that will help me understand. And then the draft regulations, because we're not hearing for the third time in an answer about it's going to be in the regulations, it's going to be in the regulations. If we can get the draft regulations, because that will assist me in understanding where some of my concerns will be addressed. Because we hear this from one of the notes that I made is functions will be excluded, it will be issuings of license, etc. So I'm trying to understand how the other entities or some of the other matters will be addressed and what exactly will be excluded. But I know the answer will be, it will be in the regulations. If we can see those regulations, it will help me understand what is going to happen and what is the full intent of this. Thank you.
If I may, Chairperson. Sorry, Chairperson, you're on mute.
The DDG can take the floor. My apology for that. DDG Mashama, you can continue.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you again to Honorable Mackenzie. The draft regulations, we will make them available to you. And as it relates to some of the issues raised, Mr. Mackenzie, by the PRSA, it's mainly on their current operation. They wanted to expand some of the staff complement and the grant that they currently have, and also elaborate further and add some of the functions that they currently are doing. So on that one, because there can't be anything else that can be added given that this process is running, one of the views that we've had is that if we now extend the staff complement of the post regulator and also extend the grant that's given to them, the process, because it's such a lengthy process, by the time maybe this thing, by the time the act gets promulgated and by the time PRSA requests then get issued might be at the same time as when this act then is to come into being. So then it then defeats the whole purpose of undertaking the exercise of wanting to expand the scope when we know by fact and as per the bill that they will be consolidated and transitioned into the new transport economic regulator. So the issues were mainly on the financing and the resource issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you.
Sorry, Chairperson, also additional comments from...
Chairperson, there was an issue or a request from Honorable Moneleki that we do presentations during their public meetings. We are more than happy to do that, as well as that suggestion is open to all provinces. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that intervention. Committee Secretary? The bill, can you, will you help the colleagues from the legislatures with the acts? Well, I mean with the bill, because so that I think the issue is let's make it much more easier for them, even if you can even forward the work done by the content advisor and also the act, and also just make sure that they have the presentation. But also I think in the past your interaction with the department has ensured that in regard to the public participation, there will always be a support team from the department on standby. I mean a part of the meeting to help. Can you respond to that?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson, on the bill, yes, the bill was sent out last year to all the provincial legislatures. After the moment it was referred to us, we sent it to all provincial legislators. And early in January, we resend the bill to legislatures. So maybe there might have been a communication breakdown between the link in the legislature and the legislature, but the bill was sent out. And also on the issue of public participation, yes, Chairperson, in terms of the NCOP processes, this is our first meeting, it's consultation, the department is briefing. Then after this meeting, according to the program, the department, the provincial, I mean, members of the provincial legislature, I mean, delegate, provincial delegates, who is yourself, chairpersons and the members, will be going to their provinces to brief the province. And during that briefing, they will be supported by officials from the Department of Transport. And maybe I can just confirm, the next meeting will be on the 15th of March, whereby the permanent delegates will be briefing their respective provinces, 15th of March. Yes. So, thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Moleleki, the 15th of March is a date from the permanent delegates to our various provinces. So definitely will be accompanied by the department, departmental support staff, just to make it much more easier in terms of the briefing. But we note the response given by the committee secretary. I hope that is sufficient, but I think we'll encourage also the team from the legislatures and also the NCOP to take a lot, so that honorable members are in a much more better position to make their inputs. I see another hand. Is that the legacy hand, Honorable McKenzie?
No, Chair, just my last question on this, because then I'll wait for my turn in my legislature. One, Chair, is thank you for the feedback. I think that the Ports Authority raised a concern which I think all other entities will have. I mean, it's February now, we're going to the budget process. 1st of April is the new financial year. Their structures and their staff planning and affected persons. And how has DGG and her team And how do they intend managing this process? Because a lot of staff will be affected, obviously. And the second point is just the process, the point, Chairperson. March is our annual report period, and I know Parliament as well. And public hearings during that process is quite difficult because, as I said, the 1st of April is the first financial year and we all want to finalize our budgets. So I don't know what the intended timeline was from the NCOP to for us to start our public participation process so we can get through it as soon as possible. And then my last question will be to the DDG again. The regulatory board, if she can just assist us, once the regulatory board, well, I think they, in the presentation, they refer to them as a council or something, a council of 4 to 7 part, I'm just moving screens here. Once they have made a decision, is that final or does it go on appeal to the minister or does a person's or affected entities have to go to courts to get that decision affirmed or objected or appealed? If you can just give clarity on that last point. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Honourable Mackenzie, DDG.
Okay, thank you very much. I was cut off a bit there, but managed to get the last bit of the question. I'll ask the project team to assist.
Okay, thank you. Through you, Chairperson, thank you. The question that was raised regarding the board when they've made a decision whether it will be ascended to the minister or the decision will be final. Okay. According to the to the bill, one of the functions of the board is to deal with issues of governance, not necessarily issues of they are not responsible for making decisions of an economic regulatory decision. However, they only make decisions on issues of governance of the regulator. And the decisions that they make, they end at the board level. They're not going to be ascended to the minister. Because if we are trying to develop an entity which will be independent from the political powers. And the other one is with the decision, regulatory decision with the regulator makes is made by the regulatory panel, which consists of the CEO and executive officers. Those are the former panel whereby they go and make a regulatory decision. And if there's an appeal that needs to be made, it will then be referred to the council. Thank you.
Chairperson, you're muted, and just on while you mute, unmute yourself on the first question, and then the second B part is where does the council's decision go to? Where do people appeal to?
The appeal process.
Okay. Basically, we are aiming to achieve two entities here, which is one, but it's two. We've got what we call the Transport Economic Council, which is a separate body from the Transport Economic Regulator. Then we've got the Transport Economic Regulator. The Transport Economic Council is responsible for receiving complaints of the decisions which has been made by the regulator. So therefore, it's an appeals body of the decisions which were made by the regulator. So if let's say a member of the public or any other entity is aggrieved by the decision which has been made by the regulator, they then refer the matter to the council. And if the matter is not resolved at the council level, it will then be referred to the judiciary. Thank you.
Thank you. Cabinet Secretary, I think let's also commit to share with the colleagues from the next features, the socioeconomic impact assessment report. I believe that it will also assist. But having said that, I believe that we have reached a point where we can say as the first step in terms of the interaction and interface of the NCOP with the bill, we are now in a position to proceed forward and to move forward. Like as you have correctly pointed out, our next leg will be for the permanent delegates to visit. But of course, there is a question that was posed by Honorable Mackenzie in terms of our process plan, given the point that he has raised. Maybe you would want to respond to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. In response to the question, Chairperson and members, you will note that this committee, as we are speaking, we've got four bills, which are Section 76. And having said that, we don't actually have luxury of time to fiddle around. But I can say, the legislatures must allow us to go with our planning. Then if, well, there's a blockage, then at least we'll interact, then we'll see how it is we can move forward.
Thanks, Committee Secretary. The process plan as outlined will unfold, but definitely where there are challenges, Honorable Mackenzie, you are at liberty to interact with us. We can find a way to accommodate some of the challenges. But like as you have said, as you have indicated, remember we are now left with only 14 months before the end of the term. So it means it's going to be a very hectic period. Worse after. I believe after July is going to be. Most of the parties now will be doing their electioneering. So therefore, it is important that let's ensure that by the end of the term, these four bills that are currently part of our menu are dispensed with. But let me then take this opportunity to extend a word of gratitude first to the colleagues from legislatures for joining us so that they are in a much more better position to also interact with their members in their respective committees in preparations to taking the process forward. The second one, the word of gratitude to the department for taking us into confidence in terms of what are the integrities which is quite comprehensive, and as the team we are happy because now we are now in a much more better position to appreciate what is the object and the scope of the bill and the emphasis in terms of alignment of the policy and the legal framework. But other than that, there's still a lot of work that we need to do in preparations for our update. But from our side, we are quite comfortable with the purpose and application. We are quite comfortable for now with the definitions. We are quite comfortable with what is the take of the bill in relation to the rail, in relation to the price, in relation to the governance and administrative aspect of the bill and the substance thereof, the appeal process, we are better prepared now. But I think more than that, I think we want to thank you for your effort in honoring our appointment with you. For this briefing, what we will then do will allow the team to exit the platform, so that we are then able to continue with our in-house matters to deal with the minutes of the last meeting that we had. Thank you, honorable members from the legislatures and also the team from the department. You are excused.
Thank you,
Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
The last minute that we dealt with was on the presentation from the DME, DPME.
Yeah, DPME and PRASA, but Chairperson, we don't actually courage to adopt the minutes today.
Okay. All right. I think on that note, I think it's good that we then come to the end. But I think on the management, we might have to have a management meeting, the first one for the year. Can you work on that, yourself and the team? To fine tune our program for the year.
Okay.
And it must be in person. We have not seen our doctor in person. Let's try to have a meeting next week, just to see how we move forward. Yeah, but other than that, I think I'm happy with the work that we did today. The fact that Honorable Khai, particularly giving the apologies, but also the Honorable Dango was in a whippery meeting, and Honorable Mamara Khaini, they just indicated us that let's note that their apologies. So other than that, I'm happy. Let's then take this opportunity to express a word of gratitude to all of you for making this meeting a success. And therefore, the meeting is finally adjourned. We'll then deal with those outstanding matters, the PRASA minutes, and also the DPME minutes in the next meeting that we're going to have, which will be next week, Wednesday.
No, Chairperson, I remember next week, Wednesday, is a joint sitting. So we have agreed to move the agenda item of next week to the 22nd of...
To the 22nd.
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. Well, thank you. Therefore, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.